Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to Zero Pucks Given, the ice hockey podcast for Chelmsford Chieftains fans. This is episode 7 and it is absolutely jam-packed for you. I'm going to be joined shortly by Dec Maltwood-Moran, the king of the updates, who travelled with the Chieftains down to SW16 to witness the incredible comeback at the home of the Redhawks. I'll also be joined by Alan Blythe, who is the head coach of the Chelmsford Ice Hockey Academy, to discuss all things junior hockey. And I'll also be joined by two Chieftains in this episode as I welcome number 8 Cameron Bartlett and number 24 Ollie Baldock, discussing their hockey careers, the recent upturn in form and answering your questions. This weekend just gone was a Britain Cup doubleheader as the group stages came to an end, the Chieftains knowing only a 4-point weekend would be enough to progress to the semi-finals, and that is exactly what we damn well got. For the first time this season, a 4-point weekend, and what a time to pull it out of the bag as we finish top of the group, going through with Invicta Dynamos and looking to play either Slough Jets or Solent Devils in the semi-finals. But we won't know until the other group stage comes to a completion, as Slough have 2 games remaining, one of which is against Solent Devils, so that will act as a decider for that group. Also in this episode, we'll have the regular stuff, coach's thoughts, hit of the week and a roundup of all the results from the NIHL1, the Warriors and the Academy. But we're going to start with this weekend's Chieftain games with me and Dec. Right, we're here with Dec Moran, who went to the away game down in Streatham. How you doing, Dec?
Hello, mate. You all right? Yeah, I'm good. Yourself?
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. So what was the atmosphere like down the high road on Saturday?
Well, obviously, going into the game, I mean, we'd got the one win the weekend before, but going into the game, I can't lie, there wasn't much optimism because of, obviously, the previous few weeks and everything. So at first, it was a bit, you know what I mean, weren't great atmosphere at first, but once the game started, after that really early goal, I mean, everyone's head just perked up, you know what I mean? It was, It all went uphill from there, really.
Yeah, it was only a couple of minutes in, wasn't it? And then Streatham have got it down as Cam Bartlett putting us 1-0 up.
Yeah, see, now, obviously, it's down as Cam. They've got it down as Cam. I've got it down as Grant. I couldn't tell you which one is correct, but I thought it was Grant.
I don't think many of us can, to be honest. I don't think many of us can tell him apart.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was a little fumble from the Streatham defence, and Bartlett just seen it, was straight on it, took it round, bang, straight in. Brilliant start to the game, you know what I mean?
Yeah, got everyone going, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, big time. The second that went in, you thought everyone was just on their feet. It was great, you know what I mean? You just thought, wow, straight away, that's a brilliant start. Put Streatham on the back foot straight away, you know what I mean?
And we knew from the I think less than a 4-point weekend was any good, was it? It had to be a 4-point weekend.
Yeah, well, that was my understanding. I mean, there was something going around after the Streatham game that we only needed the 1 point, but I think that was only as long as Invicta lost. But I'm not sure. But 4 points was what I thought we needed, yeah.
Yeah. So after, I've got down about 8 or 9 minutes, Streatham equalised.
Yeah, if I'm right, if I remember rightly, that was Lane. Lane's equalised there.
Yeah, I've got
that down. Yeah, I mean, you know, Streatham, you'd expect it's a hard game, you know what I mean? But yeah, so Lane equalised, but it wasn't for nothing. It wasn't like, you know what I mean? It wasn't a silly goal or anything. No, he had a good goal and it's what it is, isn't it?
Lovely. And then a few minutes later, Bailey put them 2-1 up.
Oh, yeah, see, I'm not sure who it was who scored, so I haven't got the recorded down. Yeah, so that was another quick one gone in. And if that's when there's where then you sort of thought, oh, no, is it all, was that first goal just a bit of false hope?
Yeah.
But you thought 2-1, it's not too bad. They, you know what I mean? With other games and everything and other times with Streatham, they've put more in a period like that. The boys were playing really well. And everything defensively, they were playing well. Passes, tape to tape passes. It was much, much better. They seemed to be gelling a lot better than previous weeks. I mean, I weren't there last week, so I didn't see what happened there.
I've seen Bailey's goal on the Streatham feed. I think he attempted to sort of reach it around, didn't he? And Luca did quite well to keep the first one out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. That's right. He pretty much pulled Luca to one side, then put it the other side and got it round him. But yeah, it was one of those. Luca was all the way one side of the goal and it was just a quick tip and passing the other side. Nothing he could do about it and everything. But I've got to say, from that point onward, Luca stood on his head. He was amazing out there. He was brilliant.
I must admit, from the Streatham Twitter feed were in marvel at how he was playing. They said he was absolutely on fire, stopping everything. So the first finish at 2-1 to Streatham, and then into
minutes or so, but then
I've got it down as Grant getting us back to
2-2. Yeah, that's why I had it down. Yeah, Grant again. I couldn't tell you why, you know, my memory's terrible half the time. I couldn't tell you what kind of goal it was. I'd say slap shot, one of the famous Bartlett slap shots, I reckon, but I'm not sure. Yeah. But yeah, no, it brought us back into it, and that was it again. I mean, thing is, heads didn't drop after the first, they came straight out, battling straight away, playing hard, and yeah, got that equalised, and I think that just perked everyone up, perked all the boys on the bench up, all the boys on the ice up, everything.
Yeah, I think the character, but it's quite noticeable actually that even if we do go down, or even if we go, you know, 2-3 goals down, the heads don't drop, but I think the boys do really keep fighting.
Yeah, no, they do. They obviously there's certain times where it happens and the heads go down, but then all it takes is one little goal or now and again a little tilt, and it just brings the changes the balance of the whole game sometimes.
It does, yeah. Now, I think I've got it down sort of 6 minutes again. The Streatham feed didn't sort of post any times, but then I've got it down.
Yeah. I think I've got that. I think I had that one down as Cam as well, yeah. So that was another Bartlett goal, you know what I mean? I mean, we've been really lucky that they've been here, to be honest with you, especially. Say that again.
I think the Streatham had that down as a slap shot from the circles, that Cam Bartlett.
Yeah, run. I think it was a big one. Thing is, the amount of slap shots that have been going in the last few weeks, it's hard to keep up with them all.
It is, yeah. There must be.
Oh, yeah, big time. I mean, go on, mate.
That's I was just saying, that comes to the end of the second there, didn't it? 3-2 up. And that's...
Bailey and Miles dropped them. It was a bit anticlimactic. I mean... started off all right, and then I think Bailey's arm just got sort of tied up behind Miles, so he couldn't get any good punches off. Miles couldn't get any good punches off, and in the end, he just went fizzled out, went down a bit, and everything. But I'm sure we'll see the two of them go again before the end of the season.
Yeah, no doubt. But I take it that
because
shortly
after,
Anton, I've got it back to
3-3.
Yeah, was that on the power play or was that? I can't remember if that was a power play goal. I mean, Antonov is Antonov. I mean, he With the puck, he's brilliant. He just moves in and out of players, and he's always one they've got to really close down. I mean, Antonov's a brilliant player and everything. But to keep him out for that long was impressive as it is, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I haven't got his personal shot tally down, but I have got the shot totals for the game. And obviously, we know Luka got man of the match for it, and quite rightly so. I think he faced in excess of 50, 55 shots, I think.
That's someone was asking me that, and I had no idea. I didn't want to find that out. So that's 50-odd shots. That's brilliant. Yeah, the real brilliant game.
I've actually sent it to me.
Yeah, I'll double check it and 50 shots that Luka faced in that game. So coming towards the end of the third, it was quite late, I think, when, you know, between the two of us, we've just got it down as but
let's pull three up.
Yeah, I think on my updates, I've got that one down as Cam.
Yeah, I've got that down as Cam as well. So go with that. So I think that.
I think we've got that down, Cam. And when that went in, that was it. I mean, there wasn't loads of us there, but we made some noise. We had the noise from that when that went in and took the lead. Because like you said, there wasn't long to go in the game. Because I remember pretty much from then on, they were pulling their keeper and trying to get that extra man on the ice. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The fifth goal was an empty netter.
Yeah, empty netter. I'm pretty sure, was it from the, I think it was pretty much from the defensive, our defensive end, and one of the Bartletts again just slapped, just flicked it up there, bang, straight in, just to, you know what I mean, just to rub it in a bit, I suppose, and guarantee that win. But yeah, that was the second that went in, you sort of thought.
That's it.
Say that again, and post
the
video.
I think it was a Chelmsford fan posted a video of the empty netter.
Right.
All the lads celebrating it. And you can see on their faces the sort of, you know, because I think we have been playing better in recent weeks and we've been picking up results. But going to the high road and beating Streatham, that's got to feel good.
That's got to. There's no big league to me. There's no, at this time, there's no better achievement than beating Streatham. You know what I mean?
Especially
pretty much. I think last season, I think we were maybe they lost two games max last season. At least one of them was us. So
yeah, that was 2-0 at the Riverside. That was.
You know what I mean? As far as I know, we beat them once this season, but to beat Streatham, reigning champions, is always a brilliant result, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always a good result, and it's. And it sort of feeds into the confidence with the boys. I'm not going to sort of element of it. And obviously, Czech wasn't playing Saturday night in Streatham, but fine. I did say
winning
mentality that he has as a professional athlete. It just breeds in a change of lads, and they can all learn that winning mentality off of him. And I do think that.
Oh yeah, definitely. I would say he's bringing a lot to that dress. A lot of confidence. I'd say a lot of, just like you said, professional advice as well.
Yeah.
For the lads. And he's more experienced sportsman and athlete anyway. So he's got that there to help him. And I think it is. I think it must have been giving him a boost out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's got to be a big boost for him. And obviously, it's not like we're...
As
we've seen from this, Luka Tsadri can... There's not much... He's really, really one hell of a prospect.
Oh, yeah. Well, he proved himself when he was playing last season as well. Like every game he was in last season when he played for the Chieftains, he was amazing. He just, from his first game, everyone just loved him. Everyone thought he was brilliant. And well-deserved as well. He is. He's an amazing, amazing netminder. And yeah, Peter Cech, it is...
Sorry, go on, Dick.
Sorry, I interrupted you there.
No,
just saying, Peter Cech being there, it's like a great to have someone there to stand in for while Sonny's got work commitments and everything. And yeah, like I think he's just bringing something to the team. I think you might even be having him there. He's making everyone else push a bit harder, sort of thing.
Yeah, I would agree, and a great role model for Luka.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Lovely. Yeah. The first cup game of the weekend, then down at Streatham, a 5-3 victory that then put it entirely in our own hands for Sunday night at City Stars, where another good crowd. I don't think it was quite sold out, but it was a good crowd. But I did sort of post dates as we went through the game. It felt like a genuinely strange atmosphere last night.
Do you know what I put that down to? I've noticed is there's been a lot of where I was standing, the group next to us, they were all new fans. So I'm wondering if a lot of this publicity has got out with Petr Cech and it's bringing in a lot of new faces.
Yeah.
Which is great for the team. Great for bringing in money and bringing in support and everything. So that's another upside of having Cech there. It is bringing in new faces. It is bringing in revenue, which is great for the team.
Yeah. And it's more eyes on. Speaking with Vicky Feidler from the Cobras, the women's team last week, I think even with the men's team, it could just well be a lack of knowledge that people don't even know it's there.
Yeah, no, I think that is right. A lot of people I speak to, you say about ice hockey and straight away they just think, oh, what, like the NHL? And you're like, well, no, league's over here. And a lot of people don't know nothing about it.
Yeah, so something like that Cech signing is going to bring that exposure. And it's going to bring nights like we had last night, obviously, where the atmosphere is a bit odd because there is new fans in there that are just getting to grips with a game. But it didn't appear to affect the boys. You know, the nerves were settled pretty quickly just a minute in when Cech fed the puck to Danny Wright and he almost went coast to coast before, I suppose you could call that a knuckle puck, couldn't you?
Well, yeah, it was one of those ones. I wasn't sure if it was a shot or if he just went to chip it in to then get someone to get the rebound or someone just to dump and chase. But it just got a lovely little bounce straight through the five hole of their netminder and boom, that was it. It opened the scoring. It was quite funny, to be honest.
I'm going to go with, I think he was dumping it up there for the rebound, but I'm sure Danny probably got a different version of it.
Oh yeah, no, I'm sure. Okay. I'm sure it was an attempted shot and scored on purpose. You know what I mean?
Yeah. and the first Chelmsford goal not scored by Bartlett for three games. So a great achievement there as well.
Well, and then that seems to open the floodgates as well, because then obviously later on in the game it was group of different scorers.
There was a few, yeah. I mean, the trend didn't last particularly long at 4:26. Bit of lax defending in Oxford's D zone, and Cam stole the puck, fed it to Grant.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been searching on Google all day because I know there is a word and a term for that finish that he pulled off, but I can't find it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know someone did call it a worldie, but I'm not sure if that's the term or... Yeah. Well, I know what you mean, like, but that was, to be honest, that was a lovely bit of play. I mean, Cam was there. He either hit the puck or hit the stick of the Oxford defender to knock the puck loose. Grant picked it up and just, well, the rest is history. That was an amazing, beautiful goal. Yeah. It was a white beauty.
For those who weren't there, there is on my Instagram, I've shared a video that Harriet Andrews posted. She was stood behind the goal, behind the glass, and got the video of it. As Cam sort of taken the puck off the defender, it's broken to Grant, who's gone in one-on-one with the keeper down to the left. He's then dragged the puck back through his legs, then put the stick back through his legs and stuck it right in the roof of the net. And you can see all the Oxford players, their reaction was just like, that's dirty. Absolute filth.
It was an absolute beauty.
So I think it's one of them goals when it happens in hockey, the team that's done it are all like, the celebrations are unreal, but the team it's happened to, it's a gut wrencher. It was sort of, for those NHL fans, it was Trevor Zegras like. It was that sort of skill level.
It was an amazing goal. It was beautiful. I mean, I'm sure. I think he's attempted that before in other games, and it's just been knocked by the keeper or whatever and everything. But to pull it off like that was brilliant. Yeah, especially in such a game, like with such so much riding on it, to get a goal like that must have been some buzz.
Yeah, it must have been. It must have been incredible. I think that James Aylin last year, I think he might have pulled that off in the 19-0 win against Milton Keynes.
I think, oh, sorry, my phone just went off there, my bad. You know what? I think you're right. He pulled off something of the sort, something like that anyway, very like that. That does ring a bell, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of people used to consider it showboating, but I think it's now, if you're at a certain angle, it's probably the only way you can get the shot off.
To me, it's just show. It's more not showboating, more showcasing your skill. Absolutely. I mean, if you can do it, why not? I mean, close the goalkeeper off. If you know, I mean, goalkeeper obviously weren't expecting that. You know what I mean? So no. If you can do it, do it.
I don't think he was. So, I mean, after that, Oxford rallied a little bit, and 12-23, Wardlaw punished a little bit of a lapse in our defensive area where he stole the puck. I think it was from Archie Salisbury was in the defensive zone with the puck. And Oxford pulled one back to 2-1, which I don't even recall seeing nerves kicking in then, even at 2-1 down, and Oxford were coming back. I think Cech was doing what Luca did the night before. He was making stops from all sorts of crazy angles.
Oh yeah. See, that one thing I've noticed a lot of the time with the team, get a couple of goals, 2-3 goals up, and they seem to relax a bit too much now and again.
Yeah.
And then something like that happens, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, wait a minute, and they're back into it. And a few times this season they've been ahead and it's gone that way and they just haven't got that momentum back.
Yeah.
But and then last night was different.
It was, yeah. So 1932, just before the end of the first, Pentecost and Bartlett with some nice work in the neutral zone and getting it up to Kieran Rayner, another scorer that's not a Bartlett.
If I remember rightly, that was from a Bartlett flick from behind the net to Rayner, who's standing there, and then he just snapped it straight in, if I'm right.
Yeah, I've got it down. I think he might have been a second attempt. I think the keeper might have saved the first one and he put the rebound in.
Oh, was it? Yeah, I remember the pass from behind the net anyway, from Bartlett to Rayner, and then lovely to see Rayner get that goal as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's always been, I think, Kieran's game. When he does get forward, he's always there to mop up. If there's a dirty little rebound going or if someone's behind the net, he does find a bit of space and he's always there to mop up.
Oh, yeah, that's something as well. Rebound is one big thing the team have been trying to work on, because beginning of the season, last season, there's never anyone there for the rebound, but they seem to be. Now there seems to be someone is in and around there, you know what I mean, a bit more. So whether it's something they've been working on or not, but it's working.
Yeah, well, I mean, looking at the first goal, it probably is. Do you know what I mean? Like, Danny was lobbing that up there to get the rebound off the keeper.
Yeah.
Probably is something that they have been working on.
Which is good. It was something that needed to work on, like, you know what I mean? And they're doing it.
Yeah. So the end of the first there, 3-1 up. And you'd imagine they go in with big smiles on their faces. But as they come out, there was almost a sort of a role reversal in the game as Wardlaw pulled it back to 3-2 just a minute and 57 into that second period.
I wonder again, was that the lads, you know what I mean, getting a bit, oh, we've got this, and relaxing a bit too much? It's hockey, it's such a fast game, isn't it? It only takes 30 seconds to a minute of not concentrating and boom.
Yeah, I mean, just look at, I mean, it's something I think that people that are new to the game, it's what kind of makes it so exciting. I mean, if you look at the game that we lost in Oxford, I think 3-4 weeks ago, 8-4, we came out 4-3 up, I think, at the end of the third. And within 2 minutes of it, we were 6-4 down.
Yeah, it can change on the drop of a dime or spin of a dime or whatever the saying is. It can just change so quick.
But as they brought it back to 3-2, and at this point, up to this point, it had been a clean game, no penalties at all. Dan Fay took a penalty on 25 minutes for delay of game. And then on 35, something we discussed after the game, actually, Jaden Balker was given 5-plus game for a hit to the head on Moody, and it looked to be a pretty clean hit.
Yeah, well, first of all, the Dan Fay one, I think that was a bit harsh. I mean, he's down on the ice. I mean, he's gone down on the puck's underneath him. What exactly do they expect him to do there?
What is
he expected to do in that situation? I mean, I don't know. I'm not a ref. I don't know the ins and outs. But yeah, so I think that one was a bit harsh. But and then the Jaden one, from where I was, it looked like a good hit. I mean, he was taller than Moody, but he's coming. It didn't look, there was nothing malicious about it at all. It was a, from what I thought, it was a good hit. And from what I understand, they are trying to appeal that, or, well, there was talk about appealing it because there was footage or something.
Yeah, I did hear last night that someone's got footage and they're going to attempt to appeal it. Because, I mean, it's not something that's really, although I think Jaden's a strong, strong lad, it's not really in his nature to do anything on the dirty side. And he is a tall fellow. Moody's quite short. He had his head down, so he didn't see him coming. So, I think it would be harsh if he ended up with...
Oh, yeah, and that's why they say keep your head up. You know, really? I don't play, but I've heard that's one of the basic rules, is keep your head up.
Yeah.
And, like you said, Moody was fine to play on. There was no...
Yeah, there was no injury, was there?
No injury, so, yeah. And also, the thing with that was, there was no penalty called on the hit. No ref's hands went up. There was no advantage played, nothing, until Moody didn't get back up.
Yeah.
So obviously they didn't see anything wrong with the hit initially.
No, so they've reacted to it on the strength that there could have possibly been an injury rather than the incident itself.
Exactly, yeah. So that's a bit of a... Hopefully he gets overturned.
Yeah, I would like to think so, because I think he's a great asset, both for the Warriors and the Chieftains. I think Jaden's a fantastic asset.
Oh, yeah, big time.
But on that power play, just a couple of minutes into it, Ravenscroft assisted... by Wardlaw and Hedges managed to get them back to 3-3. So and again, I think even then the heads didn't really drop. It was
it was
so good to see, actually. And then coming out for the start of the third, it only took 24 seconds, and Neil Lilliard and Grant Bartlett sort of assisted Cam, who made it 4-3. And
yeah, see, that is a lovely. Those early goals of it in a period, I think, can set the tone for that whole period.
Yeah, they can, yeah.
You get an early one like that. I mean, I think, who was it? It's either Victor or Solent are good at it at their rink. I think it's Solent. They have a certain play at their rink where they're off a face-off, off the centre ice face-off. They seem to have this play down to a tee and they'll get an early goal. And it just seems to... I mean, it puts all your boys straight away, you're like, yeah. And then the opposite team, you straight away, you're like, just conceded the goal that quick.
Yeah.
So it could change the game. But yeah, early goals like that, I think, can set the tone for the whole period.
They can. And I think it's good for home teams, especially obviously if you're familiar with the size of your rink, that you can make the play quite accurate. I mean, we're talking about Solent. We all, those who have been there will know, it's one, it's bloody cold.
But yeah.
Two, it's so small and so tight.
And the ice is... I mean, there's dips all the way around the sides of the ice. There's dips in up and down. Yeah. It can't be nice to play on for a while. I mean, if you play there all the time, like Solent do, they know that, like, the back of their hand. They know where the dips are. They know where the holes are.
Yeah, it's why they're so dangerous there, I think. Zamboni can't even get in the corners there, can it? Have to do it.
That's
manually.
Right. That's right.
But I think we're off down there end of January. I think we're off down to Gosport for a nice evening.
Oh, fair enough. We'll wrap up warm.
Yeah, certainly will. I think Chris McGill often says he just rolls his sleeves down for that one.
Yeah, yeah. See, Chris is one. Anytime you've got any questions about whether a hit was right or the refs have made the right call, look at Chris. If he's angry, the call was wrong. If he's like, okay, then they've made the right call. Chris knows everything about everything.
About 45-33, so just 15 minutes from the end. Llewellyn took two for hooking on Rayner, and on the power play, Czech got his second assist of the night, finding Grant Bartlett, who found Ollie Baldock to make it 5-3, and that was a lovely little goal as well.
Yeah, there've been a goal. Ollie's been searching for a goal for a few games now. You've seen him getting in there, really searching for that goal, and he's just not been able to find the net yet. And everything, but that was nice for him to get that goal last night as well. Just I think that might this might open the floodgates now for more scorers.
Yeah, I think with Ollie Baldock, I mean, obviously I'm going to be talking to Ollie on this podcast episode today, but he should be scoring goals. He's that sort of attacking forward player that I reckon you should be looking at least 15, 20 goals a season from a player like Ollie. And it could be something like the rebounds that we were talking about, going off from the slap shots or coming on from the dumping it down into the offensive zone. That he's got the physicality, he's got the speed, and he's got incredible stick handling. So I think he really will, like you say, I think that might open the floodgates for him now, because it's the last couple of weeks really I've noticed an improvement in his play.
Oh yeah, he's got the skill there, and he's definitely capable of it. I think there's a lot of players on the team at the moment. They're capable of a lot more than we've seen. You know what I mean? You've seen from players from last season where they played so well, and then this season you're just looking, you're going, we know you can do better than that. Like, we know you're more capable, that you've got it. What's going on? You know what I mean? There's a few of them on there. But they're all, I mean, last two games this weekend, they've all been playing much, much better. Like I said, the passes have been better, the defence has been better, the communication between the lads on the ice has been better. Something has really switched on in the whole team, I think.
Yeah, well, when I was talking to Pence last week, I think Pence said, like, they were aware, you know, 9 had left, I think it was 12 that came in. They were aware it weren't going to happen straight away. It might not even happen in the first month, in the first 2 months, but it will eventually happen.
Yeah, but if I remember rightly, the beginning of the last season was a bit iffy as well.
Yeah, it was definitely a slow start.
Yeah. But hopefully this is a turning point.
Yeah, and then I think it was the 2-0 result at home to Streatham that turned the tide last year. And then we really, really got down on a run.
Just turned around.
Yeah, and we were unlucky to finish fourth, I think, last year. I think it was only a couple of silly games where we'd let late goals slip. But it was, obviously, we made the playoff final anyhow. But it was...
last season, there was one game at Bristol away.
Yeah.
And there weren't many fans there. I think me... Brad, and there was only a handful more up there this time. I think it was the second game up there, and we was in the lead. We were smashing.
We
were 6-2
up. Lost 8-6 in the end.
Well, is that we? How much was it up?
I think we were 6-2 up, and then lost 8-6.
Yeah, and the worst thing was, obviously, you know what I'm like at games anyway. I mean, so we started scoring. There's only a few fans of us fans there, and I'm giving it all. Yeah, shouting like mad, going mental. Thinking, we've got this, we've got a third period, they're not going to get another four goals. And then one by one, they started scoring. By the last goal, I dared not even look up. You know what I mean? You could feel every eye in that stadium on you, or that rink, sorry, on you, because of, I mean, every time we scored, I'm jumping up, going mental, yeah, thinking, yeah, we got this. No way we're going to think, lose this now, and then boom. That last, it was just literally, you had to try and walk out of there in complete and utter silence.
And then that's a long drive home, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it was a close game, but when it was like that, but I mean, that's what Bristol were good at. Last season, Bristol were brilliant in the third.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's noticeable now that most of their players from that team are now with Bristol Pitbulls too. They've not gone up to the National League with them.
Nah, they wouldn't have made it up there, nah.
And that's why you see him do that. But it's the same. I mean, Joe Llewellyn was playing for Oxford last night because he's on a two-way with Oxford and the Pitbulls. And he's a big guy and he's a good player, but he just doesn't look quick enough to play at the National League level.
No, that's right. Yeah, no, he's a huge fella though, isn't he?
Yeah, I saw him at Milton Keynes when we was up there for the playoff final queuing to get a beer, and I stood behind him and I couldn't see the bar. He was enormous.
He's a big geezer.
But back to Sunday night, obviously up at Ollie Baldock making it 5-3. It wasn't the end of the scoring. We did with 90 seconds to go. Oxford pulled Miller and came at us. And somehow, I think every single player of ours on the ice went to get the puck at the same time and left three of them just surrounding Petacek. And as the puck broke, I think it was between Wardlaw and Moody, they fed Abbott, who tucked it into the empty goal past Petacek after sitting him down. And that made it 5-4. And it was a nervy last few seconds, but...
That's the scary bit.
Yeah, those talking about the playoffs in Bristol, I mean, the semi-final last year with, you know, 3-0 up with 2 minutes to go. And then there was 9 seconds on the clock and they get the 3-3. So, it's, yeah, them last few seconds can be nervy when there's only one goal in it.
Yeah, like we said earlier, like it's hockey. Anything can happen in 10 seconds of a game.
Yeah.
Different with football, rugby, all these other sports, not much is going to happen at that point, you know what I mean? But in hockey, anything can happen in those few little seconds. Stressful.
Yeah, it's very stressful. So I finished 5-4. Oxford's man of the match was Wardlaw, 4-point game. Chelsea's man of the match was Petr Cech, 2 points of assists for Cech. He also saved 52 shots in that game. So an incredible performance and a win. Elements of an excellent performance that we'll have to take into the rest of this calendar year.
Oh, yeah. So I think, like I said, I think, well, we've got Milton Keynes on Saturday.
Yes.
Which I mean, you've got to see Milton Keynes. They've stepped up their game this season. Their netminder is brilliant. Milton Keynes, but they've stepped up their game this season from last season, and they're not now. It's like, we used to go into a game with Milton Keynes and think, easy points. Mm. Now, it's not as. I think they've won more games this season than they did all the last season already.
Yeah, yeah.
So now it is one of those ones where when they need to be, they can be competitive. But hopefully now with this turn in the tables, it'll be back to, you know, what was it? I think last season there was like 12-0 and or 12 yeah. something.
Yeah, there was loads of goals last year, and it's not happening for anyone this year. It's just so much more competitive. I think everyone has stepped up that 5-10%.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously, it's taken us a little while to get to a stage where the guys look capable of beating the other teams. Even just on a mental level, again, it's something I'll discuss with Cam and Ollie on this episode, that, you know, their mental health, how was it affecting them that we weren't winning games and that people were getting narky? Was it pressure? Was it building? Was it, you know, now that they've got these wins, you know, it could be a little weight off their shoulders as well. And so going to Milton Keynes Saturday with their enormous pad, that could be great for the boys getting the passing going.
Well, yeah, that's it. Yeah, I mean, it must be stressful on the whole team. I mean, I know a few of the players with these losses, it was really affecting them and everything. So now with these wins, hopefully it will take a weight off their shoulder, be more smiles on their faces, a bit more comfortable with each other. Because, I mean, when you've got losses like that, I mean, there's always fingers being pointed at each other, you know what I mean? Because there must have been that sort of thing, like, and everything. And then you've got people on the outside, fans, who are saying this. And obviously they see some of the comments and everything. They'll see some of these comments, and it can't be easy.
No.
You know what I mean? There's criticism, and then there's constructive criticism. But when it's that, I mean, they can take that on board. But when it is just pure criticism and nothing helpful, I mean, it can't be easy for them. Like, you know what I mean?
No. And it's, I mean, even, you know, starting this podcast in the midst of us losing so many games, it was more that I'm Mr. Positive. I'll get a positive spin out of anything. And, you know, even for the people that have been a little bit on the negative side and just giving criticism for criticism's sake, I think even they're starting to come around now. So it's because, like I say, it's no good for the guys either on the ice or in their own heads. It can't be any good for them to just give them negative feedback.
Oh, no. So, I mean, one of the first games that they're against Invicta, where we admit they got spanked. They got spanked out there. And straight away, there was loads of it, criticism going, like insults. And I've made a point there of saying, you know what I mean, at the beginning of the season, blah, blah, blah. And then it went on for a couple of weeks. And I said again that on a post, all right, then now, how long can this excuse of the lads getting used to each other, how long can we play out on this? You know what I mean? So I defended them, the whole team and everything. And then later on, I was saying, well, how long can we go on this? Something's wrong in there. And then, you know what I mean? You've got to take the good and the bad.
Yeah.
But you also do have the right to say what you think. But when there are some people who just say it in a completely, like, sort of derogative and wrong way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's something that's levelled in a lot of sports, you know, that fans pay their money to go and watch. Therefore, they've got a right to voice their opinion, which is, you can't argue with that. That's just a fact of life. But it's,
yeah,
I think it needs the positive voices amongst the lads, because even, you know, the most positive of fans would have started to get frustrated with the results and the performances. But it's, I mean, like I've said before, I've never played hockey. I've only ever sort of been a fan, but I've been involved in team sports. I've been involved in solo sports, and chemistry is just, it's number one. If you're not clicking, it ain't going to happen.
Oh, yeah, yeah, true. And people got to remember that these lads, they're not in the NHL.
No.
You know what I mean? That these lads are playing on a Saturday and Sunday, and a lot of them are going to work on a Monday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not out there earning millions a year for playing hockey. A lot of them, they do it because they love the sport. They do it because they enjoy the sport. No, they're not in it for the money. They do it because they love the sport. You know what I mean? So you can't be like, you can't be talking to them like they've like they're getting millions and millions. Like your NHL team starts playing terrible. I mean, I'm a Philly fan. I'm a Philly Flyers fan. Last season, didn't even make playoffs. So with them, they're getting paid millions. Say what you want to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but with these guys, like you say, you know, they've all got full-time jobs. Then they're training, you know, 2-3 times a week till 10, 11 o'clock at night.
And yeah.
The long trips. I mean, like I'd said it before in one of the previous episodes, you know, they don't travel hundreds of miles on a weekend to not give their best and not play very well.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's... I think they deserve the benefit of the doubt. I think they've had it from most fans. But now I think we're looking to start reaping the rewards of the training they've had, the time they've had together. Mark seems to be doing the right things. It was always going to take a little while to click with that many new players, but there's a lot of them that have been coached by Mark in the past. So that element of it is helpful for him.
Yeah, no, of course, yeah. I mean, it's the same. It's like you said... Can't be hard. Can't be easy. All these new players trying to get them all to gel, and but yeah, I mean, I've been a critic of Mark from the beginning as well. I like to admit it. I've said it on posts and everything about what is going on with the coaching and everything. But it seems now that they've all, like I said, they seem to all be gelling. And I spoke to certain players and everything. They say Mark's a great fella. He's a really good coach. And everything, and so taking that on board, and it seems to be going well at the moment. So hopefully, it's all just the pieces have fell into place, and the coaching staff and the players, and it's just they're all starting to bounce off each other and onwards and upwards, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And say onwards and upwards, as we said, Saturday night we're away in Milton Keynes. There may well be a coach running. It depends on interest and how many people they get that want the lift up to Milton Keynes. And then Sunday night in the league again is at home to Streatham. So always nice to welcome them back. And I'm sure they're going to be absolutely aching for it after getting beat on Saturday night.
Oh yeah, definitely. They'll be wanting to get a bit of save a bit of face, wouldn't they?
Absolutely, yeah. They absolutely. I mean,
One good thing, I mean, I know they won't have, I think Martelli's not there anymore, and I think Watt will still be on his ban. So, I mean, that's two players there that do make a difference on the ice.
Yeah.
And everything not there. So that's going to, that hopefully that works to our favour as well.
Yeah, I think it's Martelli on a two-way with Milton Keynes, but he's playing quite regularly for them, isn't he? In the National.
Well, from what I've heard now, he's not even on the two-way. He's purely Milton Keynes, but I could be wrong. That's the rumour mill. Yeah. I don't know whether that's true or not. Because I know he was there Saturday night, but he wasn't dressed.
Oh, right.
So whether he was just there supporting, or surely if he was there, they would want him on. So, and I was told that he is purely with Milton Keynes now. Whether that's true or not, I couldn't tell you.
No, I think that was always going to be the case with him. He's got that level of quality where he could go up to that level. It was when we finished last season and me and my daughter that come to the games, we were discussing about, you know, we're losing a lot of players. Who do you think we should sign? And the first thing she said was Malik Martelli. And I was like, wouldn't that be something if we could bring him in?
It's quite funny. At the end of last season, there was a post up on Black and Gold about who would we like to see in. And my first name that I commented was Dan Fay.
Yeah.
And so I thought the way he played against Romford, with Romford last season, I thought he was great. I mean, I noticed him from the tilt he had with Rayner. And then from that day, I sort of paid attention more to when he was playing. I thought he was great. And I think he's one of the players he needed. Like, he's coming into himself now a bit more. He was a bit more timid at the beginning of this season. I think he's getting more comfortable playing with the Chieftains and everything. So I think we've got a lot more to see to come from Dan Fay as well, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. I think that obviously we needed quite a few defencemen, didn't we, to come in
the office. Yeah.
Yeah, he certainly has been an asset. I think I would have liked to have seen Courtney Grant come back, but that wasn't to happen. But Grant Bartlett being back is like having a new player.
Oh, yes. Yeah, because he was out for quite a while at the end of last season.
Yeah.
From that Invicta injury.
Yeah, I think he was out from... I think it may well have even been to January all the way to the end of the season.
It's not quite a while, isn't it?
I think I think it was November. November was the away game at Invicta where he got the injury, and then he say didn't play again until the start of this season. And I mean, just going from the stats in the program from this week, because obviously we're struggling to get stats at the moment, aren't we? Out of the EAOHL.
They messed up. They messed all that right. I mean, it's one of those things. Even with that, I can see where they're coming from. They're the only league using, or only organisation using that website, and the price of them, what they're paying, wasn't worth it. But you think they would have had this sorted before the season started? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I think they knew about it towards the end of last. But yeah, I've got the R stats in front of me here now. So yeah, Grant Bartlett played 18 goals.
That's
like having a brand new player, which is fantastic. I think one of the best signings we've made this year has been Anthony Leone, I think, actually. I think his experience is similar with Neil Lydiard as a defenceman. There's just no substitute for experience.
They have been. I mean, Leone's always, even when he was at Invicta and everything, he was always a big presence on the ice, wasn't he?
Imagine he is so in the changing room as well.
Oh yeah, I reckon he could be a right laugh, you know. I reckon he's and to perk the lads, to hype the lads up and everything. I'm sure, like you said, his experience and everything comes in handy.
Yeah, well, I mean, from what I can see, from I'm sure what we can all see on the ice, what you see, occasionally on the ice if you hang around after. I think the signing table is a really good thing. I think all the ingredients are there, and it's just now starting to bubble.
Yeah, I will say I think one of the best signings he made is Archie. Yeah. I remember watching him at the beginning of the season. I went to the Raiders v Peterborough game.
Yeah.
And he stood out then. At first I didn't even know who he was. I didn't realise it was Archie Salisbury who we'd signed. I was just watching him. I thought he's a blinding defenceman, like just watching him play. Then once he realised that was who he was, I thought even better. Like, you know what I mean? But even from then, he's a brilliant defenseman. He's just having him out there, I think he holds that defence down a lot.
Yeah. I think he wears 4 for Phantoms, isn't he? So it would be he'd go under the radar there if you were looking for number 40.
Yes, he was. I just noticed who he was, and then I got his name, and then the name rang a bell. So I looked on their post and realised who he was, and that he signed with us for the two way. So like from that day I just thought, I remember saying it to people that day, I thought that Archie Salvo was brilliant. And then obviously one of his first games there, he drops them with Miles.
Yeah.
Which just solidified it, really, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. That was, for 16 years old. And the lads were all there. They were around him, but they let him get on with it.
Yeah, well, even Miles afterwards was amazed with that, the lad that he was 16. He couldn't believe it at first, could he?
No. And a few Streatham fans kind of, took the whole, you're letting a 16-year-old do the fighting, but he's a lad. He's grown up in the game. He knows how to play it. He knows that side of it, and good
front hands.
Yeah, he can take care of himself, and that's something I discussed again with Pence last week. Is that physically this team can take care of itself?
And
regardless, I don't think that we've ever employed goon style tactics or gone over the top on the physical side, but I would say some of our players have got reputation. I mean, there's not many that are silly enough to drop the gloves with Bailey Chittick. There's not many that are silly enough to do it with Kieran Rayner. And not only can they take care of themselves, they'll defend their teammates as well. So it's...
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, we're bang on there.
Yeah, certainly a start to go. Right, so we've covered the two games there. What we're going to do now is hear Mark Saunders' thoughts on the week.
No, like the weekend was exactly what we hoped it would be. It's what we planned for. It's what we expected. It's what we hoped. And the boys executed two good games of hockey over the weekend. I mean, I think the Streatham game, even like we surprised ourselves in how good we were and how dominant we were in that game. I think we executed everything that we set out to execute pretty much. I won't say perfect, but as good as we possibly expected we could, and obviously come away with a huge road win against what is a very, very good good strong team, and that team knows how to win, and we managed to you know, execute a game plan that stopped them doing that and took the points ourselves. So, you know, moving to Sunday, I think we could see how much it took out of us, the game in Streatham on Saturday night. You know, obviously get off to a dream start, you know, that puck bubbles in, you know, you feel for their netminder on that one because he's a good netminder down there. And you know, but unfortunately, you know, those happen, but, you know, we'll take it. Of course we will. And then obviously Grant tucks that, you know, outrageous between the legs for our second, which, you know, sets us on our way. And then the tyre, you know, the fatigue and the tiresome legs start to set in a little bit. And, you know, we have our, you know, a blip in the second period and it ends up 3-3. You know, we managed to find some energy from somewhere for the third. And I just said to them in between the second and third, like, boys, like, you can't expect these games to win themselves. Like, I know we're tired. We're 24 hours post Streatham. You know, everyone's played a bucket load of minutes, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, we went through the mill and, you know, both of these games, we played 100 hard minutes of hockey up to that point. And the boys went out and in that third period, I thought we killed the game off really nicely. Got the two goals that we needed to get up to 5-3. There's a huge mental lapse that leaves them with a 3-0 in front of Petter there, and they get their fourth goal. You know, but it is what it is. I didn't think it looked any more interesting than it needed to be that third period. We killed the game off and got ourselves through. So, yeah, semi-final berth secured for us. You know, we'll look forward to finding out who we're going to play out of Solon, and I expect Slough, and which way around that other group finishes. But, you know, the boys did everything that I asked of them this weekend. And I think the boys have set themselves a new bar as to, you know, kind of where we see this group being, you know, with that performance that we put in on Saturday night. And it's about now getting some consistency, right? You know, I've said it for the last couple of weeks about being consistent. And, you know, hopefully if you say it more often than not, like, then the games are going the way we want. And, you know, obviously I like to look at the performances and the boys can look at the points and the wins. But, you know, more often than not, if we're performing well, then, you know, the results and the wins come with it, right? But, you know, I'm pleased with our performances over the last, you know, kind of 2 or 3 weeks. And we are winning at the same time. So, you know, we'll see where we are. Two huge games this weekend. We need to exercise some demons away at Milton Keynes on Saturday. That's a huge game for us. We expect to, you know, to go up there and have a hard test. But we know how we need to play. And then obviously the return match, obviously not in the league now, but against Streatham on Sunday, we welcome them into town. And we know that that's going to be a dogfight again. So we know what to expect from these two games on the weekend. We know it's going to require 120 minutes of hockey, of concentration, of togetherness, of, you know, system execution and gameplay of the highest level that we know what we can be at. And that's what we're looking for. So I know everyone's buzzing after the weekend, but, you know, I try and say, you know, don't get too high with the highs and don't get too low with the lows here. Like, obviously, we celebrated after the game on Sunday night, getting our semi-final berth secured. With some of the results we had in the cup, we've had to work really, really hard to get there. And props to the team for doing that and everyone involved. Like, you know, it's a good thing to get into a cup semi-final. But yeah, you kind of, you know, post game on Sunday, my mind instantly went to the next weekend, which is obviously this weekend with Milton Keynes and Streatham back in the league, you know. So mine's constantly working here. We're constantly looking to move forwards, to push forwards and, you know, be better as a group. And that's where we are. So we'll have a good week of training this week and we'll get into it on Saturday night away at Milton Keynes. We'd love to see as many of the fans there as possible. It's always brilliant when we go to away games, you know, and our fans are out cheering, you know, the fans wherever we are. It seems to happen a lot and we love it. You know, Streatham was huge again on Saturday for that. We heard everybody that was there loud and proud. And that's, you know, that's an unbelievable feeling for all the boys. And I know that they feel it and they hear it. So, yeah, let's get a good travel crowd to Milton Keynes if we can. And we'll bring home a result there and then get back in the barn, pack the building on Sunday and take another run at Streatham here, which undoubtedly will be another really good game of hockey. So, yeah, looking forward to it. You know, and props to you, mate. I know that Pence said this recently, you know, you guys do amazing things for the coverage, for the team and you know, and the club as a whole. So, you know, I know that we met face to face on Sunday for the first time. So, you know, props to you for everything you do, the exposure you give the club and the podcast and, you know, obviously every success going forwards. But yeah, you know, these drop-in messages are good and they keep the team, you know, keep us moving forwards and keep us pushing forwards, knowing that, you know, the exposure that we have and the fans are always there with us. It's nothing but a good thing. So, yeah, brilliant. We will see you guys on the weekend. Milton Keynes away and Streatham at home. And we look forward to getting after it.
And thank you to Mark Saunders for providing his thoughts there on the brilliant four-point weekend for the Chieftains. Elsewhere in NIHL 1 South over the weekend, on Saturday, Solent beat Invicta by 4-2. On the Sunday, Solent completed another four-point weekend, beating MK 3-1. And Invicta nil, Streatham 2 on that Sunday as well. Down in NIHL 2 South with the Warriors, they got a brilliant 7-4 victory down at the Solent Junior Devils in Gosport, with four goals for Sam Austin in a man-of-the-match performance. Pickering, Clover and Josh Fall also on the score sheet for the Warriors there. The Academy over the weekend, the under-16s Tomahawks beat Basingstoke by 12-0. The under-16s Rattlesnakes, not quite as fortunate, lost 3-0 to the Swindon Topcats. Under-14s Braves beat Peterborough 6-3. And the under-18s Mohawks beat Slough by 6-1. As we've just discussed the Academy results, we're now going to have a chat with Alan Blythe, the Academy head coach. Academy coach Alan Blythe, how are you doing this evening?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm really, really good. Thank you, thank you. So your title at the Academy, is it head coach?
Yes, that's it. Yeah, head coach.
Love it. And what exactly does that role entail? Do you deal with just one particular age group or all of them you have to oversee?
It's overseeing all of them, really. I've only been in the role for a few months, so a lot of it is still sort of seeing what's going on and sort of interfering if I need to. Fortunately, I think the guy that was sort of in the role before I was has sort of got everything running lovely and smoothly. There's no real issues as such. It's just sort of tweaking a few things, probably more towards the bottom end of the club than the top end of the club. I think all the age groups have got sort of good coaches in there now, sort of lots of experience. So definitely makes my job a lot easier.
Excellent. Yeah, experience is key, I suppose, when it comes to coaching. So each individual age group will have their own coach and you'll just oversee that.
Yep. So, yeah, every team's got their own head coach and assistant coaches. And I oversee the under-14s as well as sort of the rest of the club. With the under-18s, you've got sort of John Beckett, who's also with the Warriors. The 16s, you've got Richard Tomlin. Again, so much experience in them two guys, assisting them. You've got the likes of Craig Metcalf, that was, again, Chelmsford Chieftain for a while. A guy called Dan Prentice, Chris Howe, who was sort of heading up this role that I'm doing now before I did it. And then, yeah, even in the younger age groups, there's a lot of experience in there with Anthony Leone. He's on the ice helping out a lot. Glenn Morehouse. So yeah, lots and lots of experience in the coaching lineup.
Brilliant, brilliant. And is that the goal for a lot of your youth players? Is it playing for Chieftains, or do they aspire higher and higher and even perhaps foreign countries?
I think every homegrown player wants to sort of play for their senior team at the club, which is definitely doable. I think for a lot of the players, especially the top end ones, it's really a stepping stone for them to go on and push further. I think your clubs, your players only really develop as high as your senior team in your club.
Yeah.
Which, where we were in the NIHL 1, above us, you've still got the National and the Elite League. So our job in the Academy is to try and push them beyond our senior team as such. So as much as we want them to play and be part of that senior team, you don't get many kids in your local primary school wanting to play for Chelmsford City Football Club. They want to play for Manchester United and Man City and all those sorts of people. So as much as they'd like to play for their home team, we want to push them sort of beyond beyond that,
beyond that envelope. Yeah, it's been since the academy was created. I believe it's sort of 1987, not too long after the rink opened. That it's been quite successful though, hasn't it? Through the age groups.
Yeah, no, it has. It's been sort of really successful over the years. I've for a number of years, I've been coaching sort of down the A12 at Romford, and been quite good sort of rivalries between the two teams, the two clubs, which in hockey sort of rivalries are always good to try and sort of push you on to do better. But yeah, I think a couple of years ago there was almost a clean sweep at Nationals for Chelmsford. I think last year their under-12s had a fantastic year as well. So no, it's definitely sort of definitely some real good sort of history from the academy, and even looking forward, there's a few good years ahead, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you've not been in the role too long. I'm assuming they've immersed you in the history of the club and the academy. That is there a biggest success story that's come out of the ice hockey academy at Chelmsford?
For me, I think I actually played in the academy when I was a bit younger. Yeah, I had a couple of years at Chelmsford.
Because you were Romford, a netminder, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, so I moved from Romford to Chelmsford, then back to the Romford again for when I got to seniors. And I think sort of the measure of success is the number of players that go from the junior system into the senior sort of banner, because that's the hardest step of the lot. And to be able to have that sort of high turnover from junior to senior players is crucial. And I think that's where teams like the Warriors are so fundamental for us as an academy, as well as the Chieftains as a team. Because even if you look a few years back when the Warriors had their real sort of top end team, a lot of that came from the academy. You had the likes of Ollie Baldock that came through the junior system that's now back at the Chieftains. And again, you had sort of Jake Sylvester, Sonny Phillips. All of those guys were coming through at that time, which was sort of fantastic for the Warriors, but is also giving them good exposure, as well as being able to step up into the Chieftains when they needed to. So, yeah, that's where we're grateful that our junior players have that stepping stone at the moment with the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, looking through the roster of the Warriors and the Chieftains, it is littered with Chelmsford Ice Hockey Academy grads. And particularly the ones in the Chieftains that are doing fantastic at the moment, the likes of Jaden Balker, Leo Tassadri, Chris Beckett pops up every now and again with the Chieftains doing fantastic. Sonny's not really available this time of year, but I did say at the start of this season, I think for them two lads, Sonny and Luca, to have come through the Ice Hockey Academy, they're probably two of the best netminders in the division that we're in.
Yeah, 100%. I think Sonny and Luca between them, I don't think there's any better sort of pairing in that league, and it's really important for sort of the ongoing success of that team. They keep them together for as long as possible. I know they've had the addition of Petr Cech, which has been great. It's been a boost for the team and sort of the publicity around. But yeah, I think from what they've done over the years with Sonny and what he brings, he can win you a game on his own.
He can.
And then with the talent that Luke has got, such a hard-working, good, honest sort of young lad as well. He comes on the ice and he helps with the...
Yeah, I had Luca on a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, and he's a terrific young lad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Academy members,
his feet are well grounded. He knows
what he needs to do when he's on the ice.
Whereas you look at some of the other players,
good. The thing that lets them down is their personality.
Whereas
think with Luka, pretty thing. Unfortunately, he's his personality.
Yeah, is that something that you do promote from within the academy to keep these young hockey players with their feet on the ground and their attitude correct?
I think so. I think it's really important that
from the academy point of view, as we coach and
hockey players, we also want young people and young adults.
And it's the life skills that they get from being. Hopefully, when they go
to get jobs and
sort of.
Yeah, it's coaching good humans, isn't it, as well as good hockey players?
That's it, that's it. And I think a lot of that comes from sort of a good team discipline and self-discipline. They've got to sort of take responsibility for their own actions if they do something wrong. And they've got to be sort of man enough to stand up and say, well, yeah, that's not right. I was wrong there. And I think a lot of the time kids are going to make mistakes, but it's about how they react to the mistakes that they make, which is the important thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. It is in November. It's Men's Mental Health Month. And we shouldn't forget that children do struggle mentally sometimes as well. Is it important, especially as the head coach overseeing, to ensure that the kids and the juniors are in the right headspace, they're getting enough sleep and they're doing well at school?
Yeah, I think so. I'm sort of a big sort of believer that that kids are sort of well rested away from the rink as much as possible, because some of them, this is their only outlet. Yeah, like you say, I think the mental health side of things is so important, especially nowadays with all these sort of social media things and all these online gaming, you never know what's going on sort of through them headphones.
No.
So, it's really about, for us as coaches as well, being vigilant and recognising any sort of change in trends in behaviour on top of normal behaviours as such, with sort of their body growth through their adolescent years. It's what happens outside of that normal growth. So yeah, it's definitely being sort of switched on and being aware.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much responsibility on you guys as coaches, not just to coach the sport that you love, but as you say there, to try and notice trends in behaviour and obviously all your safeguarding training that you'd have to go through to do the role that you do. It's just all so imperative.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And again, it's we're coaching them as young adults as well as sort of young athletes. So we always sort of reinforce them that if they do need to talk about anything, that the coach is always there to listen and help and guide and sort of with whatever it could be. Whether it could be a bit of maths homework they don't want to ask their parents for, or just anything to help them really achieve their goals at the end of it.
Fantastic, fantastic. Would you encourage the players to make use of their surroundings? Obviously, I've discussed this a few times this podcast that, you know, this is England, it's not Canada, the lakes don't freeze over and there's very limited availability of ice. Is it helpful for them to play on rollerblades? Is it a distinction between the disciplines that they can change over quite quickly?
Definitely, yeah. I think lots of sort of top-end players have played both. They've played roll hockey and ice hockey. It works hand in hand to an extent. I think even not necessarily roll hockey, but multi-sport athletes, I think, is really important, especially in the younger ages, just to get them to get out and try different things and just don't sort of sit indoors on an iPad and on a computer, a game or whatever. Just, yeah, get out and experience different sort of sporting environments, because of everything will just sort of eventually mould back in together and the overall picture would be a lot better at the end.
Yeah, I mean, most sports are obviously, you know, the physical fitness, but they're hand-eye coordination as well. And I've got here, girls' hockey seems to be absolutely flying at junior level. It's a trend that we're seeing also in boxing and in football, where young girls are really, really getting into those sports, which I think they'll, girls that couldn't do boxing and football would marry perfectly into hockey. And I know the senior women's side of players, they've got loads. So how is the junior numbers doing with the girls?
It's booming, to be honest. So we've got the under 16 girls team, which has started just over a year ago with Jenny Bolton, who's a coach, and she's doing a fantastic job with them.
Is that the Raps?
Yes. Yeah. They're on. They sort of train on the Tuesday nights. So they're on, Tuesday night. And the numbers there are great. And even when you look at sort of younger than that in the under 10s, which is like a mixed team of boys and girls, there's probably about a dozen sort of girls in that setup as well.
Oh, fantastic.
With sort of more joining as well. So it's definitely part of the game that's growing, which is great. I think girls definitely, from a coaching point of view, they're a lot more switched on at a younger age. So they can process the instructions a lot quicker than the boys can.
Yeah, I think that's something I did discuss with one of the Cobras coach manager, rather, Vicky Fider, that I've been involved in boxing previously, and I found that girls do sort of tend to take it on board a bit quicker than boys. But obviously boys will physically progress as well, won't they, to sort of, and the girls don't do the check-in, do they, in hockey? So it's
no, they can stay in mixed as long as they are comfortable, to be honest. They can play right up to, like you see with Abby Sylvester with the Warriors and things. And
yeah, we've seen quite a few girls in the NIHL too actually playing with the men's side, which is brilliant.
So she's comfortable there, and she's sort of definitely not out of place. But then some, they don't like to go on as far as that, and they probably get 16s or under 18s, and then they move across to the girls. But because they've had the physicality side, the guys, that helps them sort of take their game to the next level as well.
Brilliant, brilliant. So as an academy on the whole, are you full, or are you looking for new recruits, and is there a learn to play coming up?
So the academy is very, very busy. We do have a learn to play. There is a little bit of a waiting list to get onto it, because from the learn to play, we want to make sure that people are getting a good quality of sort of service from it as well. We don't want to just flood it with 50 or 60 kids on the ice and everybody get nothing out of it. We'd rather do sort of bite-sized pieces and make sure everyone's actually sort of getting what they want from the end of it, to be honest.
But learning rather than it being absolute carnage for an hour on the ice.
Yeah. If you've got 60 kids on there, nobody's really learning anything. So I think with the numbers that we do, and with sort of Rich Whiting, who he runs them sessions, he does a great job down sort of with those learn to play guys. And the turnover from learn to play into the club is really good. Definitely, if people want to play and they want to get on the waiting list, the more you're at the rink skating, there's always coaches around, there's always people from the club that are looking. So we can see the ones that really want to do it. It's great. I think 2 weeks ago, there was a couple of kids that had just come out to learn to play probably within the month before, and they had their first under-10s game. And they did superb. So, yeah, it's definitely it's showing that it's working. So it's great. Oh.
Fantastic. And obviously, I know there is a waiting list, but where do people sign up for the waiting list for Learn to Play?
So if you're at the rink, you can come and speak to any one of the coaches. We'll point you in the right direction. I'm pretty sure it's on the Chelmsford Ice Hockey Academy website. You can sort of find the details on there. And yeah, but just definitely to keep skating as much as possible. And yeah, get your name down.
Excellent stuff. I'm off up to the rink tonight, actually. I'm going to be talking to Ollie Baldock and Cameron Bartlett tonight at the rink just before training. So
I'll be there.
Oh, you'll be there. I might bump into you as well then. So if I see any posters around, I'll share them on the social media.
Yeah, we're on the juniors, the under 14s are on the ice just before them. So,
excellent. I'm sure I will see you then.
Excellent.
Lovely. Well, thank you for your time this evening, Alan.
No problem at all.
And all the best in your new role as Chelmsford Ice Hockey Academy head coach.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Cheers. And now it's time for Hit of the Week. Hit of the Week this week is a split award from Sunday night's game. One of which, obviously, we're waiting for the outcome of an appeal, I believe, after Jaden Balker had an incredible hit midway through the second on just towards the end of the second, actually, on Aaron Moody for Oxford City Stars. Come across the ice, didn't charge him, didn't really sort of do anything untoward. Moody had his head down, didn't see Jaden coming, and it was a beautiful clean hit from the side. I think just because Jaden's a little bit taller, the ref called it a hit to the head. Jaden got 5+ game, but as I understand, that is being reviewed. And then there was one in the third period as well, as Oxford were trying to fight back. Number 14, Bailey Chittuck, went in for a cracking hit on Oxford 19, Tom Stevens. So Jaden and Bailey share the award for this week. And now we're going to have a chat with Chieftains forward, Cam Bartlett.
Chieftains, number 8.
Cameron Bartlett, how you doing, fella?
Yeah, I'm all good. Yourself?
Yeah, very good, mate. Thanks for joining us. First of all, happy birthday for yesterday.
Thank you very much.
And got to share your birthday as well as your appearance on the Chieftains podcast.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, as we'll be joined by Ollie Baldock a little bit later. But it's not his birthday till January, so he hasn't got to do that one just yet. But first of all, now there's been some confusion on social media from Saturday's game at Streatham. Congratulations for that win, by the way.
Thank you.
How many goals did you score?
4.
You got 4 of them. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And Grant got the other?
Grant did. Grant got the other.
No, but yeah, between myself and Deck with the updates and Streatham's Twitter feed, they weren't exactly giving too many details. So
can get very confusing.
Yeah, I suppose it can for some, yeah. And you were on the score sheet Sunday night as well in the win over Oxford. Tell us about that goal.
Oh, I don't know. It just popped out in front, and I thought, I've got to shoot that hard. Didn't want him to block it, so.
Yeah, it certainly went in at a rate of knots. It was sort of only a couple of yards out after the ricochet of it coming out, so that was good.
Yeah.
Lovely. So you started your hockey career at Chelmsford. How old were you when you started there?
I didn't start my hockey career at Chelmsford. I started at Romford when I was 5 years old.
Oh, did you? Oh, your elite prospects have deceived me.
Yeah, so I started when I was 5 at Romford. Played at Romford till I was in under 14s. We had a disagreement with Romford. Then we left Romford and come to Chelmsford and played ever since, other than one minor season that we was at a start of a season at Invicta. And that's it.
Yeah, so you both did start hockey together and then played together for 80 careers?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, that's fantastic. So, yeah, so there was a side from that start of the season at Invicta at Chelmsford all the way in the Warriors as well as the Chieftains?
Yeah, exactly. We played Warriors, I think, maybe for 2 or 3 seasons. And then Chieftains is pretty much ever since we took the step from Warriors to Chieftains, played there ever since.
Fantastic. And did you appreciate that step up in level? Was it something you needed?
I think it's something we needed. We was we played Warriors for a couple of years. Okay. And then the time come and give it a chance. And then we never look back.
Oh, brilliant. So the Chieftains recently have had a bit of an upturn in form, and yourself and Grant obviously have been a massive part of that.
Yeah.
What do you think the reason's been for the change in form?
I don't know. We've got a new team. We're working hard. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes.
Sorry, that just cut out for a second there. So you said there's a lot going on.
Sorry?
That just cut out for a second there. Got you saying there's a lot going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. A lot of changes. Lots of late nights, long hours. Boys are just working hard. We're trying to get there. We're getting there now. It's just taking a couple of months to get there, that's all.
Yeah, I think that was always bound to happen with as many changes as what happened in the roster.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially with a new coach as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you just touched on there, the commitment required to play hockey at this level is huge. Obviously, if you didn't love it, you wouldn't do it. But can you explain just how much commitment it is?
We train Tuesdays, I think it's 9:30 till 11:15. And then a Thursday from 10:30 till 12:00. So we've all got normal jobs as well. So we all get up at sort of 5:30, 6:00 most days. So we're sort of sleeping maybe 4 or 5 hours a night, and then we're back out to work, and then do it again on the Thursday, and then Saturday, Sunday we play our games.
Yeah, that's a hell of a lot of time, especially for obviously young men, young families, and stuff. It is a lot of commitment.
Yeah.
November is Men's Mental Health Month. I'm on board with the It's Not Weak to Speak initiative that was started by Belfast Giants up in the Elite League.
Yeah.
Now, particularly with players, I know you must have some great banter and some good laughs amongst you, but if and when it does get mentally tough, do you support each other, and do you think the club supports you as well?
If someone was needed to talk, they would talk. There's people around that they talk to. No one really shows it as a man, do they? But if people needed to, they could talk to anyone in the team. Anyone would take the time to talk to you.
Yeah, I think that's what the initiative is trying to break down, is that sort of barrier for a man that doesn't want to talk, doesn't want to seem to be weak or to be struggling.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would imagine that, you know, a group of men such as yourself, you should feel comfortable talking to each other about anything, because I mean, looking at the start of the season we mentioned we've had an upturn in form. Was it getting mentally tough for a few of the lads with the results and performances that we were having?
No, I don't think it did. I think that we just knew we had to start getting it. It's hard. It is hard. Rut, and it's about changing things to get out of the rut. That's what we needed to change, and we've changed that. We've had some things happen. You can't help. We lost a lot of players last year. They're hard to replace anyway. So yeah, once you get out of the rut, we're all right again.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Well, it's I can see when you're all on the ice together that there's an aura about you all as a group where you can sense that there's a closeness, and that, as I say, you said that no one was really massively struggling in the downturn of form, but I think you all knew eventually it would come.
Yeah, we all believed in ourselves. We all believed in what was. We trusted the process. We trusted the process.
Yeah, that's a massively important thing.
Yeah.
So I've got, obviously, you wear number 8. Is there a special story behind you wearing that number?
No, just one of my numbers that I picked when I was a kid.
And you stuck with it all the way through?
I have.
Yeah, that's at least one way that everyone can tell you and Grant apart, I suppose.
Yeah, very close, but yeah, one number off.
So I've got a couple of listener questions, if that's all right, if you don't mind answering them.
I'll try.
Yeah, it's nothing too out there, I promise. So we've got from James Griffin. He said, what is it like playing with your brother? Is there pros and cons to it?
Yeah, it's fun. We find it easy to find each other on the ice most of the time.
A definite pro then, that you've got like the
I'd say it's more of a pro than a con. Yeah, it's hard when he goes and gets banned, but he does what he does.
Are you the older or the younger of the two?
I'm the oldest by 10 minutes.
And I'll never let him forget that.
10 long minutes.
Unfortunately, as we get older and older, you'll start to wish you were the younger one.
Yeah.
So do you have, out of the lads we've got in the roster at the moment, do you have a favourite line of players that you like to be on the ice? That's from Harriet Andrews.
No, I'm happy to play with anyone. I just do what I've got to do for the team, and we're basically brought in to score as a such. That's what me and Grant achieve to do.
Do you have a fantasy line out of any hockey player that you'd like to be in?
No, I don't watch hockey that much.
No?
No.
Perhaps an all-time Chieftains one?
Probably me, Grant, Gary Clark, Dwayne Newman, and Zatopek.
That's great to hear some of the old names there. So you don't watch that much hockey. Do you not have an NHL team that you follow?
I don't. We went and watched Tampa when we was in America, but I don't really follow hockey as a such.
No. So away from hockey, have you got any other hobbies?
Yeah, we do a lot of shooting. We do golf. Yeah.
A lot of hand-eye coordination.
A lot of our hand coordination.
That's fantastic. Are you handicapped golf-wise?
I am.
How low?
I play off about 6 at the moment.
Oh, fantastic. That's I'm quite glad then that the Players Fans Golf Day didn't take place as planned.
That could have been some fun.
It could have been, yeah. I mean, I would normally put 28 and then I would be called a bandit, but I don't play regularly enough to keep it down. So,
yeah.
Yeah, certainly playing off 6, that would certainly make a difference. Musically then, if you've got sort of any sort of music taste, if they were to put on a fantasy concert at the Riverside, who's going to headline that for you?
Oh, I'm not bothered. I don't listen to a lot of music.
Oh, really?
No, I'm not. I don't. I listen to the radio and that's about it. It's as far as it goes.
Yeah. Well, so a lot of the radio I listen to is all the talk radio as well. So I don't sort of do any sort of modern music. But
no, I'll listen to whatever's on. I'm not really fussed of what's actually playing. More history. That's it.
Yeah. Little bit of the older stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I must admit, I can't keep up with all this modern stuff that the kids are listening to now. It makes me feel incredibly old.
Yeah.
Have you got a favourite rink that you like to play in?
Oh, that's a tough question. I'd probably say our rink's probably my favourite. But other than that, I'd probably say maybe Guildford.
Yeah.
Guildford or Streatham's good.
Are they both good for atmosphere or the surf?
Atmosphere and the atmosphere is a good atmosphere at Streatham. Our atmosphere is good.
Yeah, it certainly does come. We discussed earlier in the podcast episode tonight, talking about the games at Sunday. It was quite a strange atmosphere. There seemed to be quite a lot of new fans that have sort of come in with the signing of Petr Cech has got some publicity out there. So the atmosphere was quite subdued. And obviously, once we started to win, it did start to pick up again. But that's... I do hear that from quite a lot of people, that our atmosphere is one of the best.
Yeah, it is. It's good. They're always loud. So it gets behind the boys. And that's what we need. When we're in their moments, we need the fans to be behind us.
Yeah, that's good. And so for the most part, I think absolutely everybody is, especially at the moment.
Yeah.
I've got a question here from Crystal that is it's kind of floating. So when you and Grant re-signed at the start of this season, it was put out there that this was probably going to be your last season. Is that still the case?
We're hoping not, but no one knows what's happening yet.
No.
We're starting something in America that if it takes off, that we won't have a chance to play as much. That's the reason we missed 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So if that happens, then it might not be as much. That's why we don't want to say that we can fully commit, because I don't want to be half in and half out. So that's why I thought I'd make it clear that it could be, but yeah, we're, no one wants it to be the last season, but We don't know.
Yeah. And as we discussed already, it's a massive commitment, isn't it, to commit to playing?
Yeah, exactly.
So, fantastic, mate, fantastic. Well, thank you very much for coming on and joining me tonight. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, no stress.
And you've had a fantastic start to the season, and long may that continue for it. It's obviously, we've got a cup semi-final coming up now, opponent yet to be decided.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good chance for us to push on and get some silverware this year.
Exactly that. We want to get to that final.
Yeah, and the two-legged element of that cup kind of does make it all for the taking, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It makes it back to the old style of playoff hockey where you used to play home and away legs.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, of course, when we have the actual playoffs themselves, when you get to the semi-final, obviously the quarter-final is home and away, isn't it? But then the semi-final and the final is just that one game.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we all had our hearts in our mouths in Milton Keynes in April last season.
Yeah.
After the
semi-final. They were two tough games.
They were indeed. And that I've never seen anything like that Bristol game, to be 3-0 up with, what, 2-3 minutes to go.
Yeah, and then they come back.
Yeah. How did that feel? Because that goal in overtime, that, you know, we went straight at them, which was a surprise to me. I thought the heads might be down a little bit after conceding so late. And that puck just dropped to you in the point, completely unguarded. You must have felt like all your Christmases had come at once.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. The stress that it took off, it was unbelievable. You don't want that going on too long. You want to just get it over as quick as you can.
Yeah. And the celebrations were truly something to behold. I think out of all four teams that were there that weekend, none of them were supported as strongly as the Chieftains were.
No, they weren't, no. We were there in force.
Yeah, and we certainly made a noise when that went in. I said, that is a moment that will stick with me for life. That's my first experience of coming to the hockey playoff finals, and my daughter, that will stick with us for life.
That's a good experience to have.
Yeah, and thank you so much for giving it to us. So once again, mate, thank you for joining me on Zero
Buck. Yeah, no stress.
I hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. It's, you know, it's for you as well as the fans. So it's
yeah,
really great for you to come on and have a chat. So thank you very much, mate.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We'll see you again, mate. Thank you to Cam Bartlett for joining me there on Zero Pucks Given. Great to hear his answers to the questions there. And the hope that he may still be with us for next year, as will Grant. So we'll just have to wait and see. Next tonight, they were going to come on together, but it didn't quite work out for that this week. So next tonight, we are talking to Ollie Baldock. Ollie Baldock, how are we doing, fella?
Not bad. How are you?
Yeah, excellent. Thank you for coming on and joining us this evening.
No worries.
First of all, congratulations on Sunday. You got yourself on the score sheet.
Yep. Yeah, it feels good. Yeah, it was a good weekend. I think all the boys were happy. Yeah, it was back to winning ways. It's always a good feeling.
It was, yeah, it was. And you played well in both games, actually. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your goal on Sunday? You got the fifth goal.
Yeah, it was just a lucky breakthrough. And, yeah, I mean, I was telling all the boys it shouldn't have gone in, really. I hit the backhand, I hit the post, it come back out, hit the goalie and went in, so... bit of fortune, but we'll take it. We'll take it when it's needed.
Yeah, on the video from behind, it actually looks like you sweeped in front of him and stuck it through the five hole on purpose.
No, I feel like it definitely hit the post, come out and hit him and went back in. So I think the keeper will take that one.
Yeah, he probably will. He had a bit of a mare considering what happened for the first goal as well. Oh, we've got a bit quiet, mate. Still there?
Yeah, I think it's when my phone keeps unlocking. But yeah, the first and second goal didn't do him many favours, did it?
But no, I think the second goal would have that would have made him think he didn't want to come back out.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's always good to watch.
With the first goal, is that something that you guys have been practicing in training, sort of dumping one up into the offensive zone and looking for the rebounds?
Not so much. I think it's just all that Wrighty can do. It's all that Wrighty can do these days. He's only got the legs to get to the red line and he'll dump it in and there you go. Dump's never a bad play.
No, it certainly worked out that time, didn't it?
Yeah.
So, lovely. When I was having the chat with Cam, I said to him, obviously, he has to share his birthday and he's had to share his appearance on the Chieftains podcast as well with yourself.
Yeah.
But it's not your birthday till January, so you've got a little bit of time before yours, but only a couple of weeks after Christmas, so you get all your prezzies out of the way in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, it's always pros and cons to having a birthday right next to Christmas. It usually all fold into one in the end.
Yeah, and it's always cold, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. With the weather these days, it used to, when I was younger, when it used to snow, it was lovely, but now it just seems to piss down with rain all the time.
Yeah. So I've got the elite prospects actually completely did me with Cam. It had it completely wrong. But I've got you starting your ice hockey career at Chelmsford Ice Hockey Academy.
Yes, yeah.
And a very small spell at Cardiff.
No, so I don't know where this has come from, but it's...
Yeah. Phone locked.
It's I definitely didn't do a spell at Cardiff.
Yeah, it's really odd. It almost looks like you sort of, you know, decided to move there for a year and played hockey and then just come back.
No, I don't know where they got that from, but yeah, I've had it a few times each year when I get posted somewhere I'm signing. I always get a bit confused with that, but yeah, I can confirm I've never done a year in Cardiff.
No. I've had Alan Blythe on this episode as well, who's the head coach at the academy now.
Yeah, he's good.
He did mention you coming through the academy there, and obviously playing with the Warriors and the Chieftains. But then you moved on to Raiders.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, four successful seasons there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I suppose so.
Yeah, successful in the terms of playing regularly and get yourself on the score sheet and whatnot.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so it was an experience going up a league. That was the main reason of moving. But it was definitely a good experience. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah, and I suppose it stands you in good stead, doesn't it, when you've played at that higher level to play, even though it's not that much lower in terms of what it is. I think people have said it's just really the speed is the difference.
Yeah, it's definitely the speed. It's definitely the speed. Even the rinks, it's just, it is completely, when you're playing, it's completely different. There's sort of no, there's no forgiveness at all. Whereas in this league, if there's an error, 5 times out of 10, it's not going to be an issue. But in that league above, you get penalised. Some of the teams in that league above are deadly.
Yeah, one error, you get punished.
Yeah.
So obviously you've got yourself on the score sheet Sunday. It's the first time you've scored in a little while after getting a hat-trick down at Invicta. Is it something that you're trying to add to your game and think that you should be scoring on a regular basis?
Well, I mean, juniors, I used to be a goal scorer, but in my men's hockey, I've never really been a goal scorer. I've taken up the role of being sort of a defensive centreman, playmaker almost in my last 5 years, 6 years of playing men's hockey. So coming down, I know it's sort of expected of me, I think, to start putting up some more goals. But yeah, it's just trying to train myself to score goals and be a bit more selfish than passing the puck, I suppose. So I'm still in that transition. It's always nice to score goals, but I've always been one to get more of a thrill from assisting goals and making nice passes, really. But yeah, I'm definitely trying to change that, I suppose, for the need of the team at the moment, where we are struggling with goals. Obviously, Cam and Grant have just got that touch of gold, like they just can't miss. So yeah, we kind of need some other goal scorers. So I'm trying to step up and help out. But yeah, it's a bit of a different feeling for me. But yeah.
You're certainly doing your bit. I mean, a question I put to Cam, that we've recently had a bit of an upturn in form at the Chieftains, and you as well as Cam and Grant have had a massive part in that. What do you think the reason has been for the upturn in form?
I think it's just being sick of losing, I suppose. I think we've always had it in the team. There's never been any questions in my, no doubts in my mind anyway, that the team we've got can't do something in this league. It was just a bit of a ropey start, and now we're sort of all finding our feet a bit and we're starting to click a lot more. I mean, all the boys are good. Everyone gets on in the room. It's really good atmosphere. It's just we've been on the wrong side of the results the last few weeks. So it's nice now to see and to show everyone that it's nothing to do with the coaching and it's nothing to do with us as players. It was just, I don't know, it was just a bad start. but I'm fairly confident.
Just a little bit of time to tell, I suppose. So many new players coming. Obviously, you coming back though. So, were you coached under Mark at Raiders?
No, I was never under Mark. I was always under Sean.
Yeah,
Mark come in toward last year, I think, for a couple of games to assist Sean, but other than that, I've never sort of played under Mark.
No. But I suppose from that, he was fully aware of what you could do and was a part of getting you back to Chelmsford.
Yes, yeah, I assume so, yeah.
Lovely. So now that you're back, and obviously the team is the atmosphere at the Riverside great for you guys?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's that was one of the things that I was quite looking forward to coming back to Chelmsford. Romford always had good fans. And I was sort of worried when I stepped down the league that the atmosphere would change and the enjoyment of playing would disappear a bit. But I know that Chelmsford always turns up and they've always got a good fan base and always pack the rink out. So it's always good. It's nothing better than playing in front of a busy crowd.
Yeah. Now, when you said there, obviously, for the love of playing, that the commitment level required to play hockey at this level is just astronomical. And obviously, you wouldn't do it if you didn't love it. But you know, how does that commitment level sort of affect your life?
Yeah, it's tough sort of training twice a week in the evenings, weekends, obviously not having weekends. It is tough. But I mean, yeah, like you said, we love it. So it's just normal to me now. I mean, this year's been a pleasure for me. It's been nice actually having days off. The last 5 years, I've been used to being fully booked and being very, very busy at hockey. But sort of me stepping down has actually given me a bit more time. It sort of actually feels less commitment in this league, which is a nice feeling for me.
Yeah, the way the league's been structured this year, because there's only 8 teams in NIHL 1, that we have ended up having either one game weekends or actually a whole weekend off, which I've sort of said before, for the fans is we just want hockey, hockey, hockey. But for you guys, it must be nice to get that.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like light at the end of the tunnel after a few tough weekends. It's nice just to have a Saturday or a Sunday here and there off and just to be able to chill out a bit and sort of socialise outside of hockey. I mean, all the boys love each other in the room, but I'm sure we all have friends outside of the room and family outside of the room that we don't see often enough. So it's definitely nice to have those days off.
So the season runs, you know, September to April generally. Do you do much in the summer gap?
In the summer, see friends, go to the pub, love a beer garden. Love a bit of golf. Love golf. That's
you're a golfer as well.
I usually do, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love it. I don't think the missus loves it. But as soon as hockey finishes, I'm playing golf. I try and play golf a good few times a week. So,
talk about one time-consuming hobby into another.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's an addictive thing. But,
Have you got a handicap for golf?
I do. I mean, it's like goalposts. It's my handicap at the end of summer's half decent, and at the start of summer, when we play hockey all through the winter, it's almost starting again.
Yeah.
So it's not really a set in stone handicap, but I sort of play off a 12.
Oh, sorry, we're sitting like in the. The low nothing, teams, maybe.
Yeah, nothing like the Bartletts, nothing like those boys. But,
no, can't tell who plays off 6. And I said, yeah. I'm really glad now. Fans versus players golf day that was talked about in the summer never took place.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I was good. And then I sort of went and played golf in the summer before signing at Chelmsford with the boys. And quickly realised that I'm not that good at golf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, November is Men's Mental Health Month. I discussed some of this with Cam as well. I'm on board with hashtag It's Not Weak to Speak initiative, which was started by the Belfast Giants up in the Elite League. So I know you guys must have some good banter and good laughs in the change room, but do you sort of feel if it gets mentally tough in the room that you can talk to each other?
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely a few people that sort of they put themselves out there as those guys that sort of you can go and talk to about anything, really. I'd like to think all of us in the room, you can go and approach with anything. Yeah, it's like we all have a laugh, but I mean, if anything seems off with anyone, we'll always pull each other aside and ask the questions. And yeah, we're all here for each other. We're a team, aren't we? So, yeah, it's definitely that sort of vibe in the room.
Yeah, that's good. Obviously, I mean, the whole idea of the initiative is trying to break down the barriers of sort of machismo amongst men that they don't want to talk about their feelings and if they are feeling down. So in such a physical sport like this, there must be an element of that. So, I mean, as a group of men, they obviously are you sort of trying to sense a change in behaviour in each other, or you will just openly, do you openly have conversations about your mental health?
Yeah, I think we all have conversations about.
Oh, just lost you again there.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I've got you back, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just, like, I think it starts as serious and sometimes it ends in a joke. But I think that's how quite a lot of us guys, or especially us hockey players in the room, we all sort of deal with any sort of mental health or stress or any problems we have. Everyone's all there and the banter's there, which sort of helps everyone and pulls everyone along. So, everyone in the team, there's certain people you go to and there's certain people you don't go to, but I think it's quite clear for everyone in the room sort of where that lies, where that responsibility lies, really.
Yeah, no, that's great. Is it more with the experienced players, would you say?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah, it's just, yeah, I mean, I think everyone in the room can act in that figure, but I think some people, obviously, you see more as you want to go and have a laugh with and you don't want to have that serious chat with, or you're not comfortable with having that chat. But there's definitely people and mentors, like people in that room that are there for everyone, really. There's no one alone in the team.
No, that's really good to hear that. So I've got a couple of listener questions now, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I've got one from Harriet Andrews that also was put to Cam. Do you have a favourite line of players?
In this current team?
In the current team, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'll probably not. I mean, I've played with quite a few different lines. I still don't think I actually have a set line at the moment. We're still experimenting. So, yeah, I wouldn't say I have a set line.
No. Do you have a fantasy line, perhaps, that you'd like to be in of all hockey players?
No, not really. I'm not really much of a hockey guy, believe it or not. I just don't like watching hockey. I love playing it, hate watching it. But yeah, there's a few guys that obviously I've watched when I was younger and I was able to play with towards my end of the career. Like Huska, it was always a joke when I played with him. Matty T. Turner was always solid, the strongest guy on his feet. He was always good to watch when I was younger. Always someone I looked up to as a centreman. And I'll definitely say sort of recent years, obviously playing with Jay, I've played with Jay Key for a long time, and yeah, his recent ability to just sort of score goals on demand is it's pretty impressive, and it's always quite good fun to be able just to pass the puck and let him do his own thing. So
yeah.
Lovely.
So obviously away from hockey, you like a bit of golf and a bit of a beer garden. Is there any other sports?
Kickabout football. I like playing football. Usually play on a Monday night, just sort of a kickabout, mess about. Yeah, most sports I'm into, anything competitive I quite like. I'm quite a competitive person, but main ones really, I love football and golf outside of hockey. I'll definitely say my two my go-tos.
Yeah, my wife says that I would watch four nuns play badminton if it was considered sport.
Yeah. I definitely agree, yeah.
So, musically, then, they're going to put on a fantasy concert at the Riverside. They're going to board up the ice, put a gig on for you.
I have no idea. Was this on the ice, or is this...
Oh, just a fantasy thing. Like, who would headline a fantasy gig for you?
I don't know. I like all kinds of music. I don't really have a favourite artist as such. I literally listen to anything, especially in our room. Some of the music that gets played is pretty questionable, but I can listen to it. So
yeah, there's quite a broad range of age, isn't there, across the roster? So
yeah, it's definitely a big variety of music that's played. I think we touch on sort of every sort of song, really, or any kind of music.
So no particular song that you would say, like, I know one of the NHL teams are talking about doing goal songs for each player that scores. Would you not have one for you?
I'd rather it just roll onto loads of different songs. I'd get bored of all, to be fair. I don't score that often, so I wouldn't hear it that much. But I'd get bored of the same song all the time, especially if the Barletts are on the ice. Do my head in.
Yeah, yeah.
The song comes on.
We'll just stick with Chelsea Dagger then. And
yeah, that's it.
And I'll do the dance to that. So, fantastic. Well, Ollie, thank you so much for joining me tonight. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. All the fans are so delighted to have you back at the Chieftains, and I wish you the best for the rest of the season.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you for the call.
No problem, mate. And I'll see you again soon.
Yeah, I'll speak to you in a bit. Thank you.
Cheers, Ollie.
Bye-bye.
A massive thank you to Cam and Ollie for joining me this evening, chatting obviously about their hockey careers and a little bit about Men's Mental Health Month. So for anyone that is struggling with their mental health, there is help out there. Please reach out. The initiative It's Not Weak to Speak is hoping to prove that for those that don't want to talk or don't want to open up, that you can and you should. It's certainly not a weakness. We all need help sometimes. If you want to reach out but you don't feel like talking, and you can do it better over text, there is a mobile number that Samaritans have, which is 07725909090. That's open 24/7, 365 a year, and someone will come back to you if you text that number. They'll come back to you instantaneously. Alternatively, you can call Samaritans on 116 123, free from any phone, and that number is also open 24/7, 365. So keep spreading the good word of men's mental health. It's not weak to speak. We need to reach out. If you need help, reach out and get it. My inbox is always open, as I'm sure are your friends, your colleagues, anyone that you feel you can confide in. Please do so. Thank you very much for joining me on episode 7 of Zero Pucks Given. It's been a long one. I'm glad you stuck with it. I do apologise. There was a few glitchy sort of sound quality moments in a couple of the chats. I will try and improve that for future episodes. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you next week. This podcast is hosted on Anchor by Spotify. It is available on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast outlets. Follow us on social media, Zero Pucks Given Podcast on Instagram, Zero Pucks Pod on Twitter, Zero Pucks Given Podcast at gmail.com for email. The music in this podcast is taken from Spotify. I do not own the tracks. Subscribe on Spotify to get notifications about all new episodes. Podcast Network.